Hi, everyone, and welcome to Toss C3 Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the founder of Toss C3, Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Amazing. Excited. Let's talk browsers.
Oh, yes. And this, again, this comes from cybersecuritynews.com. And you know what? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is scary. Hackers use fake browser updates to install malware on users' computers. This malware distribution on users' computers is achieved through phony browser updates presented on websites that hackers have hijacked. This is even more scary because of that. When a user uses a hacked website, they may see a message, basically proposing to be from the browser's developer, such as Chrome, Firefox, or Edge, advising them to update their browser. The link leads the users to download harmful software instead of a secure browser update. So this means we really even have to think more, Greg. And I've seen this before at times when I was using Chrome years ago, that it was really becoming a, but Chrome's really gotten their act together in certain things, especially with certain websites compared to using Safari. But this is scary, especially if you're on a website and you want to really view it and you think it's safe. And that means who's liable? Is that website liable? There's a lot of things to think about.
You know, it's really kind of nuts. And, you know, the article that you just read, they were talking about people landing on a malicious website itself, right? So they were already in the house of the hacker. So how did they get there? Let's talk about that first. Let's just unpack this thing real quick. So they got there by clicking on a link that they thought was taking them, let's say, to Chrome or whatever, wherever, to do some upgrades. And instead, they were going to one of these fake URLs that look exactly like the original one. We've talked about it a million times. Cyrillic characters look like English characters in the letter. You click on it and you're done. Easiest way to do that, ladies and gentlemen, is just hand type in the URL of where you want to go. End of story. You go to the right place. Second thing to make sure this doesn't happen to you is make sure you have a high enterprise level endpoint detection and response system that plugs into your browser. What this will do is constantly check the websites that you go to, the code on the pages that you bring up, and keep you safe. If anything was going to be malicious, it'll just kill it, quarantine it, stop it. It won't happen to you. This is really important to make sure this doesn't happen. Okay, so what happens now? You go to these places, you click on, Chrome download, Firefox download, Safari, Edge, et cetera, and what happens? The JavaScript or HTML code is injected directly, through the traffic into your system, and it automatically will download these malicious payloads. Now, how's another way you could get it? Well, hackers could take out ads on normal websites like ESPN.com, those annoying pop-ups that come up, all the things that are on the side, right? So there are ways to put ads up that will pass muster, if you will, of the publishing company that's, you're paying to put them there, because it's going to call back to itself to get the malicious code once somebody clicks on it, as opposed to having the malicious code on the website at all times. Now, let's talk about that one. There's ways that hackers put malicious web code on websites in ads or pictures or images that are active, if you will. It's called a drive-by attack. And what will happen is the drive-by is your mouse pointer. You just drag your mouse pointer over an infected image and boom, as my CIO likes to say, Bob's your uncle. They got you.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they definitely have you. And so it's like, and I think it goes back to, Greg, we see so many people that just don't pay attention to these things, are just going in their mosey on the regular day. I'm just, what about the whole thing about if, let's say, this happened at neilhaley.com, God forbid, something, a hacker was able to cloak there and then they clicked on something. Is the website liable in any way?
Well, the only way that could happen at neilhaley.com is that they would have to get into your back end, right? So if you're using, one of these applications, to run your website, WordPress, in the old days, Joomla, that type of thing, they would have to have had access to that or hack the hosting company that you have to get into your files and edit your code. What more likely would happen is that they would find neilhaley.com and they would just buy that exact same domain, but one of the letters would look like, let's say, an A or an E or an L, but it wouldn't be. And to the discerning eye, you still can't tell. You see what I'm saying? And oh, then yeah. when they click on that, they're like, quote, stolen your digital web identity. But when a user clicks on that intending to want to work with you or go to your show or whatever, then boom, they're going right to that guy, hacker's site, or it could be a gal.
That's crazy. Cause I start thinking about that, Greg, and I'm like, that really can happen. And it's a scary thing for sure. And that, again, we talk about it every day. And I think, Greg, if you were giving a tip to the average person, an employee, even an owner of a company, what do you do when you're on the World Wide Web, when you're on your phone? Do you always have to stay focused so you don't make these silly mistakes?
Yeah, be super vigilant. You know, first off, let's be really careful not to get smished, right? So that's the SMS, the text messaging, phishing attacks that I get at least 10 a day of these things. You know, get your BMW needs service. You know, it's a political campaign thing. Oh, you need to update your credit card on Amazon. Oh, your Netflix is about to expire. Any of these ring a bell?
Oh, they always do. I mean, yeah. I see. Yeah.
Exactly. So be super vigilant on text, especially. Most people use text for communication. So if you're getting ads and crap, just click on the bottom. It says report as junk. You click that, reports it as junk. It throws it away in good cases. If you keep on getting over and over again, like badgered, then you can block that phone number so it won't come on anymore. Sure, they'll get used. They'll come another way with a different number eventually the next time, but it might be keep you safe for a few days, week, month. Or whatever. The other thing you need to do, be super vigilant with your emails. You know, I can't tell you how many, you know, phishing, thank God my staff is so capable and so trained. But on a daily basis, you know, I'll get something from my CFO. Can you please just tell me if this is okay? Or even I'll get something that I'm unsure about. I'll send it to my security team and I'll have them throw it into the sandbox, you know, and detonate it and see, hey, what was it? You know, so we can tell our customers, you know, what was the attack? What were they doing? And so on. Because it's important to follow these things, you know, and see these indicators of compromise that they might leave on your system so that you can keep notification to your clients, to your own business, and to yourself to keep yourself safe. So if you do get an email that looks odd or it looks exact or whatever, just go up into the email field on your iPhone or your Android, you know, click on that email field, the from. You know, and it'll show you the URL, the domain, if you will, on the end. And in most cases, you'll see it has nothing to do with like Amazon or Netflix or whatever company you're getting an email from.
All right. The best place to go right now, if you're concerned about any of these things, especially organizations, libraries, big infrastructures that, you know, you have a lot of employees in different ways and you could be hacked and it could just... And ransom, like so many people, once they get in the system, it's too late. You got to work with someone like Greg, who's an expert in cybersecurity. Go to tossc3.com right now and schedule a call with Greg today. We appreciate it, Greg. Another great topic and a great explanation from when we read the news to really hearing it from a specialist like yourself. Oh my gosh, we got to watch out for these things. So thanks again, Greg.
Got it, Neil.
All right, that was the Toss C3 podcast, guys. Take care. We're back here, the Toss C3 podcast. I'm excited to welcome the founder of Toss C3, Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing fantastic, Neil. Looking forward to today's topics.
Oh, I'm excited. And the first topic we're going to cover today is SpyNote. Beware of this Android Trojan that records audio and phone calls. Basically, according to this came again from hackernews.com, the Android banking Trojan known as SpyNote has been dissected to reveal its diverse information gathering features, typically spread on SMS phishing campaigns, which we talked about. Lots of people always click on, specifically text messages. Attack chains involving the spyware trick potential victims in installing the app by clicking on embedded link, according to F-Secure. That's scary, right? That this is a way that they're going ahead and recording information that really can be that personal information to hack into anything.
You know, it really is. But, you know, just before we jump in on SpyNote, let's not forget, everybody, that Siri and Alexa, et cetera, they're always on, and they're not considered to be malware because they come with your phone. So let's just put the thing straight, right?
Totally.
Everything's always listening, regardless of where you are. So just remember that. But yes, you know, it's amazing, right? I bet you know, Apple's doing backflips right now, you know, just knowing about this SpyNote, because they're always saying how they're unhackable and, you know, you can't get Trojans and malware and all that stuff on iOS, which isn't true. And we talked about that a number of times. That's been proven. But yeah, the SpyNote thing is amazing. And, you know, not only is it coming in, you know, as you're talking about through the banking and so on, but it's, you know, they had some issues in areas that I saw in Italy, for example, you know, when we had that emergency broadcast alert.
Yeah.
So they're saying that there were fake IT type public alerts in Italy that went on, that, you know, if you went, the visitors went there, it would be stealing their information and dropping on this spy note onto their system, you know, as a public address, you know, promoting civil protection, you know, which is just kind of an amazing way how people are doing it. You know, also other areas, which is important for kids, you know, there are some other areas, you know, like games, some of the different, you know, screen type savers and games and things that they can use are also pre-infected if you're not grabbing, you know, the real one. So it's really important to make sure if you're at the Play Store or if you're at the Apple Store, you know, that you be very diligent about where you're going and what you're getting. You know, another thing that people really should take a real heed of, you know, I know it's not specific to SpyNote, but it could be a way to get it, is when people go to Google and they do a search for something and they get that giant list of stuff, so many of the URLs that you're given look like what they should be. And my recommendation always is to hand type in the URL once you find the company that you want. And the reason for that is that we talked about it in the past. You know, the Cyrillic alphabet has lots of ways to hide characters that look exactly like, you know, English, Arab, you know, standard characters. And if you click on it, it's going to take you to a malware site. You're not even going to be aware of it, and you're done.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary stuff. And then you're hacked completely. And this is happens to companies all the time. If you're thinking about how can you as a company look at this, Greg, and say, uh-oh, when they bring their phones in, right? And they basically might click on the wrong link, because, you know, not everyone is you and I that would never click on a link ever, especially a text message or an email, without really checking into it. You kill it and quarantine it with your ability so you can identify it. I just ignore it and never touch it again. A lot of other people, but think that you have 1,000 employees in your company, and then one person decides to do something like this, and then it's recording all this personal information, like a law firm or somewhere else where there's lots of personal information, and then they use that to their advantage and really causing a lot of issues and problems for that organization.
Yeah, 100%. That's really such an important you know, point that you brought up, Neil. But, you know, let's just, you know, since we're talking about the SpyNote, let's just tell everybody, you know, keep an alert out, you know, keep your eyes open. You know, one of the packages, the APK, the Android packages, it-alert.apk, was one of the ones that they used. And when you're installing stuff, if it's asking, you know, hey, can we always run in the background? You know, that's one of the installation, you know, that you can accept or deny when you're putting an app on. Notifications, when it runs, all this stuff. Geo, you know, so always say no, you know, unless it's a geo type app, and then only allow it when you're using the app. But, you know, don't let stuff run, you know, unfettered in the background when you have no idea what's going on, because that's when they grab, you know, all of the invasive actions on a compromised device and are listening, are watching, are stealing. You know, these are all the things that you got to be cognizant of.
All right. The best place to go is TossC3.com right now. Schedule a call with Greg today. We appreciate it, Greg.
Thanks, Neil.
All right. That was the Toss C3 podcast, guys. Take care.